This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Matt Graham, so good to have you here live with us. We got your recorded comments last week, and then we had you come on. And you're going to be our Hot Topic guest on next Monday's program. So we're excited to have you here and continue to give us an update. What you got for us this week, Matt?
Excited to be here. Thanks, Dave. So, yeah, talking about mortgage rates dropping, your 2 5/8 quote, you might want to make sure that's still lockable today. It's jumped up quite a bit at the end of last week on a relative basis, of course. But there's a really interesting dichotomy between last week and this week. So last week, my little recorded spiel I sent you talked about the fact that things were really flat in the bond market and that the market wasn't responding to economic data, or that it would tune out economic data until the economic data had a loud enough case to be heard. And that's really what happened last week, arguably, especially on Wednesday. There was first kind of a prelude to the jobs report that made people brace for impact. And part of that was the ISM non-manufacturing data on Wednesday is probably a little bit under appreciated by the average loan officer who is following economic data for the purpose of staying on top of interest rates. But apart from NFP, non-farm payrolls, the big jobs report, the ISM reports are some of the most reliable, biggest market movers we have. And they offer a really good way to track the rebound in the economy coming back from coronavirus. And that report, not necessarily the headline, but the business activity component, was much stronger than expected and got all the way back up to 41 on an index basis. And the forecast was for 34. And this is coming back from a reading of 26 in the previous month. But that was second fiddle to the morning's big data, which was ADP employment. So just a little background on that. ADP's stated goal with that report is to try to capture and predict what the second revision of the non-farm payrolls, the big jobs number, will be. And it comes out 2 days before. So over the years, recent years, because it's not as old of a report, it's gained a love it or hate it reputation as being either predictive or completely useless, depending on whom you ask. But certainly, we would have to conclude that given ADP's role in the payroll processing marketplace, they definitely have a finger on the pulse of how many payrolls are going out. So if there's variability in their data, I think it comes more from trying to predict NFP than it does from not having access to good data themselves. In any event, the thing absolutely crushed its forecast. It came in at quote unquote only negative 2.7 million, which of course everything's relative. When it comes to economic data, forecasters were expecting negative 9 million. That makes that the biggest difference between a forecast and an actual number for that ADP report. Combined with ISM a couple hours later, you have this flat bond market that wasn't really tuned into economic data, that's sort of waiting for some sort of big information to come down the pike. And here it comes all at once on Wednesday morning, forcing the bond market to consider, holy crap, maybe we have been too complacent or too bearish on the economy, and maybe we need to prepare for the economy coming back online a little bit quicker than we thought. And that kicked off a little bit of a chain reaction that pushed Treasury yields especially higher. And then Thursday, it was just pure momentum trading. You had a lot of anticipation and repositioning for Friday's big jobs number, because traders were thinking, sure, ADP sometimes misses the mark when it comes to predicting NFP, but if it's this far from forecast, we have to prepare for the possibility that NFP payrolls does the same thing. And indeed, not only did it do the same thing, it took it to the next level. NFP, it might be the biggest beat we ever see in our lifetime. No way to say that for sure, but I think for the time being, and certainly looking back into the past, it's the biggest beat we could imagine. Came in at positive 2.5 million versus a negative 8 million forecast. Definitely have jobs that need to come back into the economy, so it's not a surprise to see the capability of the economy to generate that kind of payroll growth, because it destroyed so many payrolls in the previous couple months. But to see it so soon and so much better than expected added to this case that the bond market was sort of caught flat-footed and needed to prepare for the possibility, at least, that first phase of the economic recovery will be faster than expected. So with that, we had 3 days of not necessarily extreme, but relative to the last 6 to 9 weeks, extreme movement in Treasury yields. The nice thing, the saving grace here, is that MBS fared better by comparison, mortgage-backed securities. And there are a couple of reasons for that. First off, treasuries will first and foremost bear the brunt of any bond market specific news. Anything that is hitting that risk on, risk off sort of buy stock, sell bond sort of thing, they're going to sell treasuries first. And MBS will be less affected comparatively. Also, treasuries have much more supply concern right now. And what I mean by that is the government is issuing a ton of treasuries in order to pay for stimulus programs and to make up for revenue shortfall. And then we also have the corporate bond market right now going absolutely nuts, record corporate bond issuance.
Yeah.
So on one hand, that creates an alternative investment that creates competition for treasury and the MBS. But it also implies some short-term selling in the treasury market due to the way corporate bonds are priced and sold. And the companies that help these corporations issue their bonds effectively lock their rate for them the same way that a mortgage lender could lock a rate by taking a short position in MBS. They take a short position in treasuries because treasuries serve as the foundation for those corporate borrowing rates. And so it creates short-term selling pressure in treasuries, which can drive rates up. Then depending on what the market's doing, book runners, as they're called, the companies that help the corporations issue these bonds, may or may not buy those hedges back. And so at the very least, it's a 50-50 wash, but sometimes it ends up being negative for treasuries. Anyway, back to the point, MBS don't have those concerns. They're not used as a hedge for corporate bonds. They're not being issued any more rapidly than is suggested by refinance demand. So they're able to outperform. Mortgage rates themselves also have a very historically wide gap between where they are and where mortgage bonds say they should be. And that has to do with a lot of coronavirus-specific stuff, the forbearance tidal wave, cost concerns and cash flow concerns that lenders have never had to deal with before. So that's keeping rates elevated relative to MBS. And it was really the only reason over the past 6 weeks that mortgage rates were able to fall, even as treasury yields sort of ground gently higher during that time. The big concern here is for mortgage rates.
For bonds, yeah. Mortgage rates, yeah.
Is that all of a sudden here we are on the precipice of a faster than expected recovery. And yes, this is definitely a source of major debate. And a lot of people want to say, how dare the stock market be going this high? And how could people think we're going to have a recovery? Because it's awful out there. I'm not offering an opinion on that. I'm just saying the bonds are reacting to the data they have available. And it's better than they thought it would be. And we have to defend against the possibility that this is going to continue to move in an upward direction for rates. And I think it's safe to say either way, that if the economic data were to continue to paint the same picture it painted last week, that there would be a certain measure of upward pressure on rates. And if there's anything pushing back, it's the Fed. And we have the Fed coming up this Wednesday, and a lot of people are expecting them to firm up their bond buying commitment because in March, they embarked on emergency bond buying that they've been adjusting as needed. And they've settled into adjusting that every Friday. And this Friday was the first time since they started this, but they haven't made a change to their daily maximum amount for MBS buying. So it was $4.47 billion a day. That might offer us some small clue as to what they will solidify this Wednesday if they do solidify something. There's no inherent implication for what that would do for rates, but it does give us a benchmark to assess how generous or stingy they're being if they announce QE4. Really, it would be official QE.
Yeah, QE4, yeah.
So that's really the big focus of this week. Not a ton of economic data on tap. Definitely nothing like last week in that regard. And I think all eyes are really on the Fed.
Matt, I'm on your website right now looking at it, and the live news stream, there's so many features on your website that I just want people to be aware of and go sign up for a free trial on this system. Because if you want to know what's the latest news happening out there, it's right here. It's got all news, it's alerts, videos, and then also the MBS live chat. It is just such a well-designed place to go for an immense amount of information. So kudos to you, and can't wait for our listeners to all sign up for your service, Fred. Appreciate you, and thank you so much for being here.
I'll get you a lickin' link, too, so that people
get an extra
discount, extra free time.
That's excellent. Well, thanks so much for being a part of the podcast, joining us now, and looking forward to having you here each and every Monday. So, folks, get a hold of Matt. Take a look at what he's got to offer. It's just really cool. All right. Appreciate you, Matt. Have a great week. Check it out, mbslive.net, not .com, net, mbslive.net. Matt, thanks again. I want to say a special thank you to all of our sponsors, Finastra, CMLA, Community Mortgage Lenders of America, as well as Indicom, Accelerate, Ainsworth Advisors, Mobility RE, Modex, and so many others. Check out all of our sponsors on our sponsorship page. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody, and look forward to talking to you next week.
You've been listening to Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.